After you've marked the invitation song, let me then encourage you to turn to Acts chapter 20 with me. For a few moments this evening, we're going to study Acts chapter 20. Beginning in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, Acts 13, through Acts chapter 20, we find recorded here the three missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. The account of Paul's work in the ancient city of Ephesus is found in Acts chapters 18 through 20. On his second missionary journey, the Apostle Paul went into the city of Ephesus. He was there for a very short period of time and then he left. But when he left, he promised them that he would return. Then in the third missionary journey, the Apostle Paul, in fact, goes back to the city of Ephesus. The Apostle Paul worked with the city, the church in Ephesus, longer than any other place that we have recorded concerning the Apostle Paul. He worked with those brethren there for 3 years. Now, here in this context of Acts 20, the Apostle Paul is now headed to the city of Jerusalem. He does not know what's going to happen to him when he gets there. So as he journeys to the city of Jerusalem, the Apostle Paul comes to the island of Miletus. And there he asks for the elders of Ephesus to come and to see him that he may speak to them one more time. Now here are a group of men, an eldership, whom Paul worked with for 3 years, the most time he was ever in one place. And now he's headed off to the city of Jerusalem where he knows not what his future is. But he wants to address these men whom he knows and whom he loves deeply one last time. So in Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 28, I'm going to start, though his address to them starts up in verse 17. Acts 20, beginning with verse 28, I'm going to read several verses as Paul addresses for the last time the elders at Ephesus. Keep watch over yourselves and all of the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning you, night and day, with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourself know these hands of mine have supplied my needs and the needs of my companion. In everything I did, I showed you that this kind of hard work we might help the weak, remembering the words of Jesus himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In this farewell address of the Apostle Paul to the elders of Ephesus, this passage is packed with application and information. But here's the one thing I want you to see in this address. As he addresses these men whom he loves for the last time, he warns them about certain dangers that the church is going to face. He warns them about certain dangers that the church is to face. Now here's what's incredible about this. This was an address that was made some 2,000 years ago. But I want you to understand that what the apostle warned these elders about in the long, long ago are exactly the same warnings about the same dangers that the church faces tonight. Let me make that clear. The same dangers that the church faced nearly 2,000 years ago that Paul warned them about are exactly the same dangers that the church faces tonight. He talks to them about three dangers. He talks to them about the dangers that are around them. And the terminology I'm going to use is he talks about the dangers that are on the outside of the front door of the church. The dangers that are around them, but not in them. Then secondly, he warns them about the dangers that are among them. Dangers that have come through the front door and are in the church. And then thirdly, he warns them about the dangers that are within them. That is, within the heart of each Christian and what we must do to keep that in check. So there are dangers that are around us, there are dangers that are among us, and there is certainly potential danger within each of us. Notice first of all, he talks about the dangers that are around them. Look at verse number 29. He says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you. Well, if they have to come in, then where were they presently? They were out. They were out. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. The danger that he warns the church about, the danger that was around them and wanting in, is the danger of false doctrine. False teachers. Brethren, let me shout it from the rooftop. There are always, always wolves around. Always. There is always the danger around the church of false doctrine and false teachers, and we must live with an awareness of the danger that's around us. Now, hold Acts 20, we're coming back, and I want you to go all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13. I want to show you something pretty remarkable, actually. Deuteronomy chapter 13. This is Moses addressing the people. This is Deuteronomy's like the second law. He's now addressing the people here and reminding them of the law. Listen to what he says to them. Now this is in Moses' day. Moses is saying this. Deuteronomy chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a miraculous sign or wonder. And if the sign or wonder of which he has spoken takes place, and he says, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them, verse 3, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to see whether or not you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. It is the Lord your God that you must follow, and him you must reverence. keep his commands and obey him. Serve him and hold fast to him. Verse 5. That prophet or dreamer must be put to death because he preached rebellion against the Lord our God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. He has tried to turn you from the way of the Lord your God commanded you to follow. You must purge the evil from among you. Now, understand what he's saying. Moses is telling the children of Israel, if there is a false prophet, a false teacher who comes among you, and if he tells you about something that's going to happen, Moses says, if what he tells you is going to happen, if it does happen, Moses says that's still not an excuse for you to follow after behind him. Because you know what the truth is. There are no other gods. There is one God. You follow him. Now, what is the point? The point is that even in the days of Moses, in addressing the children of Israel, there was the danger of false teachers, there was the danger of false prophets, the danger of false doctrine, and if we get involved from that, we sever our relationship with God. Listen, this has always been a danger. The danger that is around us of being pulled away from the truth. Jesus spoke of this on the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, Jesus says, beware of false prophets, for they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. What you see is not what you get. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's look at one more. 2 Peter chapter 2. Moses warned them. Jesus warned them. And now the Apostle Peter is going to warn. And between Moses and Peter, there's many, many centuries here. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Watch how Peter switches tense in the verse. Watch this. But there were, what is that? That's past tense. There were false prophets among the people, just as there will be, future, false teachers among you that's present. Now notice what he says about them. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Listen to the next statement. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. Listen to me. This has always been a danger. We must never turn a blind eye to this. As the Apostle Paul gathers these elders together, his farewell address, these men whom he loved. You know, I want to talk to you about one more time. I have one more thing, that one more speech you need to hear from me. Just hear this one last word from me. And what he talks to them about as he heads off and we'll never see him again is he talks to them about dangers. He says there's dangers around you. And he says what you must always watch out is that false teachers who are out there will come in and take over if you are not careful. May God help us to always be on guard against such. So that's the danger that's around us. Then secondly, in Acts 20, the Apostle Paul talks about the dangers that are among them. Dangers that are now on the inside of the front door of the church building. Look at verse number 30. Acts 20 and verse 30. He says, even from your own number. Now where are they at? Now they're inside. Now they're sitting in pews. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. You see, the only danger we face is not the danger on the other side of the front door. There's dangers among us from our own members, from our own people. Now, who are these folks? You know how you figure out who these folks are? All you do is go back in the book of Acts and start surveying the book of Acts. And you find out who these dangers who are already in the church are. Now, who are they? Well, according to Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, there are hypocrites. That's Ananias and Sapphira. Listen, Ananias and Sapphira were members of the Church of Christ. They were members of the church. They were hypocrites. Ananias and Sapphira is in Acts 5, beginning with verse 1. But if you will head up into the end of chapter 4 and see how it ends, that's when Barnabas gives his property, his amount to the church. He sold land and brought it and laid it and gave it to the church. And Ananias and Sapphira saw how everybody started looking at Barnabas. Oh, look. And they thought, you know what, we want people to look at us like that too. So they got together and lied. And sold a piece of property and brought it back and said, oh, look what we got. They said, this is what you got. That's what we got. Listen to me. They wanted to be known as big givers. They were big liars. And they were hypocrites. They were hypocrites and they were members of the church. They were pretending to be something that they were not. Turn the page. The danger among us is not only hypocrites, but in Acts the 6th chapter, you have complainers. In Acts chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, the Grecian widows were complaining that the Hebrew widows were being taken care of better than they were in the daily administration of the needs. Now, that's a backhanded way of saying you're prejudiced. That's exactly what that was. You're taking care of your own, but what about us? The Hebrew widows, they got no problem. But the Greek widows, well, you know, we just want you walking past them. So there were complainers. Listen. The last complainers in the church aren't found in Acts 6. They're alive and well still. So there's dangers among us. There's the danger of hypocrisy. There's the danger of complainers. You turn two more pages, and Acts chapter 8, you got a guy trying to buy his way through. Simon. Simon sees the apostles, that by the laying on of the apostles' hands, the apostles were able to transfer miraculous gifts to members of the church. And Simon said, man, that'd be great. How much? And Peter told him how much. Your money perish with you, and you have neither lot nor matter in this thing. Let me illustrate. Years ago here. Oh, I got to put this so that the old timers won't know who it is. I don't care. Guy came here, really, really good giver. And there's nothing wrong with that, except here was his deal. He wanted everybody to know it. And in Matthew 6, Jesus says, don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing about that. But he wanted everybody to know it. And everybody did know it, because he told everybody. He did. So, I had done something, and he didn't like it. And so he, I was young, and he was just going to really set me straight.
and a couple of the elders, Henry Wilkins and Luther King. Said, what are you doing? He says, well, I need to talk. He says, no. You're not going to jump on him. You come jump on us. You come jump on us. So this guy, myself, and these two elders all got back there in my office and closed the door. And boy, I'm telling you what, they talked to him. And when they got done talking to him, Henry Wilkins looked at me and he said, preacher, get up and open that door right there. So I'm right. So I stood up, went over there and opened the door. And they looked at that guy, they said, now you get up out of that chair and you get yourself through that door and you get out there to that outside door and you pop yourself out through that outside door here. Nobody here is for sale. And man, I mean, that guy went twitching across 7 miles. And to my knowledge, he never did come back. Now you old timers can figure out, I don't care if you figure out who it is or not. But here's, a lot of people think that they can get power. That's not what this is about. So there's a, listen, the danger among us is hypocrisy. The danger among us is complainers. The danger among us are folks who want to try to buy their way through. Another danger among us is the Diotrephes. Over in the little book of 3 John, John talks about a member of the church whose name was Diotrephes. John says, in 3 John verse 9 and 10, John says he loves to be first. He wants to be the boss. And you still have people, members of the church, who want to be the boss. Let me tell you who the boss is. Jesus is the boss. All the rest of us work for Jesus. Jesus is the boss. That's it. There is no other boss. It's Jesus. But listen, John says he loves to have the preeminence. He wants to be the boss. He has an obsession with being first. And you still have members of the church who are legends in their own mind. Now, listen to me. Ananias and Sapphira were members of the Church of Christ. That group complaining in Acts 6 were all members of the Church of Christ. Simon the sorcerer was a member of the Church of Christ. Diotrephes was a member of the church, and if you'd ask him, he'd told you he's the best member of the church. So, what am I saying? I'm saying that there's not only dangers that are around us, but there are dangers that are within us. Dangers among us that we must also deal with. Number three. Go back to Acts 20. Paul then addresses dangers that are within. And I don't mean in the church, but dangers that are within each of us, if we're not careful, that can cause problems in the church. He lists several. Look at verse number 30. 31. Verse 31. He says, so be on your guard. That's the first danger among us. The first danger among us is carelessness. Carelessness. Brethren, we must always be on guard. We must always be sober and be vigilant, because if we are not, the devil will take advantage of us. You can become careless and you will become a statistic with the devil. And that's true. There was an acid factory. An acid factory. I thought this was fascinating. And they went back through their records to find out the employees who became burned or injured with this acid. And when they went back and looked, the employees who became injured with the acid were never new employees. Now, you would think that's who'd get hurt, but it wasn't. It was the older employees, the ones who've been there
for a long time were the ones who were always getting injured. So you know what they said? They said the difference is that the new guys, the new employees, knew the danger of the acid so that they were very careful. But the older employees, the ones who've been there forever, just got so accustomed to it, they thought they could be careless and do certain things with it they couldn't, and as a result, they were the ones who became injured. You understand what I'm telling you? I don't care how long you've been in church. Listen, I don't care. And if you think you reach a certain age and the devil's going to leave you alone, you could never, ever be more wrong. You could never, ever be more wrong. The devil will jump up and down on a 90-year-old like he will a 19-year-old. Illustrate. I talked to a policeman not 3 months ago. And he had just been on a run about somebody who was shoplifting. And him and I are in this conversation. And so I said, some kid stole something. And you know what he told me? He said, listen, 9 times out of 10, when we go on shoplifting runs, people steal it. It's not young people at all. I said, what? He says, it's older people. It's older people. Now, what is my point? Here's my point. Look, I don't care what age you are. If you put your spiritual guard down, the devil's going to get you. So a danger, a potential danger within each of us is carelessness. Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 27, do not give the devil a foothold. Look at a second danger that's within us. Verse number 32. Now I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance. The second danger within us is the danger of shallowness. That is the danger of us not committing ourselves to God and to His grace. A mother tucked her little girl in bed, left the bedroom, and no more got down on the hall till she heard a thud and the little girl started crying. The mother ran back into the bedroom where the little girl was, and she laying in the floor. And the mother said, dear, what happened to you? And the little girl looked up and said, Ma, I must have fell asleep too close to where I got in. Do you hear what I said? The problem with a lot of Christians is that they fall out of Christianity because they go to sleep too close to where they get into Christianity. We have to commit ourselves to God. The danger within us is that it's shallowness, is that we don't grow and we don't mature. And if we don't grow and if we don't mature, we become susceptible to every wind that blows down the street. Look at another danger he lists, verse 33. He says, I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. A third danger we face is that of covetousness. That of covetousness. I want what somebody else has got. I got to keep going. Look at verse 34. He says, you yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my needs and the needs of my companion. Another danger within us is the danger of laziness. The danger of laziness. There is no place in Christianity for laziness. When you look at the life of Paul, when you look at the life of Peter, when you look at the life of all of them, men and women alike, all of them, the last thing they were is lazy. And whenever you start in Genesis 1 and read through the book of Revelation, when God wanted something done, what God did was get in touch with somebody who was already busy. God never asked a lazy man to do anything for him.
He never did.
The people whom God appointed to do things were people who already had their hands full. Laziness is a danger within us. Yeah, I know I should pray, but I know how to read a Bible. You know what? Your problem is you don't feel like, your problem is you're lazy. You're welcome. Keep going. Verse 35. He says, in everything I did, I showed you by that this kind of hard work you should help the weak, remember the poor, and the Lord said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Brethren, we have to be generous if we're going to be Christians. We have to be generous. And the danger within us is not to be generous, but to be stingy and look out for number one. So, he talks about dangers that are outside, he talks about dangers that were among them, and he talks about dangers that was within them, and then he closes. Look, beginning of verse 36. We're done with this. He closes. When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them, and they prayed. Notice the position, their posture. They knelt down. Would you have kneeled down to pray? No, sir, no, ma'am. But it's a reverence for God. They were laying themselves prostrate. And they prayed. Notice what it says. They all wept. The Greek says they wept aloud. There was literally, it says, loud crying. They wept. They wept aloud as they embraced him and kissed him, and it's in a present tense, so they hugged and kissed him over and over again as they wept out loud bitterly. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. And you can almost see these men standing at the shore as that ship sails off, and you can see them almost in your mind standing there until that ship is totally out of sight. Now, you want to know what's the great news? Here's the great news. I'm done. We're going. You know what the great news is? They said the thing that hurt him the most, they said they will see him no more. Guess what? They seen him again. In eternity. In eternity. They would never see him again here. But bless God, here is not what it's about. What it's about is the other side. And they've been together now for a long, long time. Brethren, dangers around us, among us, and within us. God help all of us to stay on guard. If you're here tonight, if you're subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ, you can come forward right now as together we stand and as we sing.